Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 12. You'll notice on your program that it is my lot to bring the closing message this evening. And you know, that's really the most difficult part of all. It's very hard for me to cram into the time that's afforded to me what I would like to say. And then I have another meeting after this, so we're just going to give our minds for a short time to the Word, trusting the Lord will bless it and work through it for His own glory. In Matthew chapter 12, could we just read a few verses at the end of the chapter, beginning at verse 46. Matthew 12 and the verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his own word. Could we just bow in prayer for a moment and then look to the Lord for his help as we consider the word that's before us. We do trust that the Lord will help us through these last minutes of this service. We'd ask all the boys and girls just to sit quietly and still concentrating on God's Word for a little while. And may the Lord enable us all to give our minds and our attention to the Scriptures of truth. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for Thy presence and Thy help to be made known to us in a very real way in the latter part of this meeting. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt take the word that we will consider, bless it to our hearts, speak to all who are before Thee, and Lord, bring Thy truth with freshness, with authority, with saving power. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless us and do us good through the Scriptures, for Thou hast promised that Thy words are indeed wholesome words, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, Thy word brings light and understanding, and it brings salvation to the soul. O Heavenly Father, speak to all who are before Thee. Do a work of grace, we pray. And Lord, may Thy Spirit come down upon us and work among us. And may there be that which will redound to the glory of God and to the praise of our Savior's name. Hear us now, abide with us, we pray. We ask this for Christ's sake and for His glory. Amen. There's that last verse which I read, verse 50, to which I want to bring your attention in the latter part of this service. Verse 50 of Matthew 12, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. It's very obvious to all of us as we read this text that it can be called a family text. The words are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is speaking on an occasion when he was preaching in the city of Capernaum and was suddenly interrupted by a messenger who told him that his mother and his brethren were without and that they wanted to speak to him. When that message was brought to the Lord, that members of his physical, earthly family wanted to speak with him, he immediately took the opportunity to identify his spiritual family and speak of them in such a fashion as to show that the Lord counted them his real family. You see, God has a family. The Bible speaks of the family of God
find that in many places. In Ephesians, for example, speaks of the whole family in heaven and in earth. In Ephesians as well, there's a reference to the household of God. And that word household means belonging to a family. And in Galatians, the Apostle Paul refers to the household of faith. In that verse to which I refer, he makes a distinction in humanity. He speaks of the Lord's people doing good unto all men, especially to them who are the household of faith. You see, not everyone is in the family of God, as the Bible puts it. There's a distinction, and the Lord makes that distinction even here in the text that we're considering this evening, here in Matthew 12 and the verse number 50. And from the Lord's words, we can say in the final analysis that there is no family so important as the divine family, the family of God, the household of faith. Now, speaking from a human perspective, in this very situation that's described in these verses, there were people there who were in the Lord's family according to the flesh. His mother was there. His brothers were there. The Bible speaks as well of his sisters. That is, according to the flesh. And what a privilege it was to be in that particular household in which the Lord Jesus Christ grew up as a boy, grew into manhood. He had a mother. Joseph was his guardian. He had half-brothers, he had half-sisters. The Bible makes all of these things clear to us. And yet, despite that, our Lord's own words here in this verse show to us that the most important goal that anyone could ever have is to belong to that family of which he speaks in this 50th verse. Where he says, and read it again, "Whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." You see, we gather here tonight on a family occasion. This is Children's Day. We have this yearly event when the boys and girls take part, when parents come together to see their children, to hear their children participating in this service. And therefore, in a very real way, it is a family service. And we all have our own particular family, our own particular household. We have parents, we have grandparents, we have children, uncles and aunts, and all the rest of the different features that make up an earthly family. And our families are important to us, and precious to us. But here we are shown by the Lord Jesus Christ that there is no family more important than that great family of the Lord Himself. And as we teach our children and train our children and seek to establish the family unit in that way, the ultimate goal of all that training is to see our children and, of course, the parents as well brought into the family of the Lord Jesus Christ and belong to that family and be part of that family without any doubt, without any question. I want to look at that subject for a little while tonight. May I show you, first of all, the evidence of those who are in the family of God. Notice what the text says. "Whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother." Now, when we talk about the evidence of being in a family, regarding our earthly families, there are certain signs, there are various tokens that someone belongs to a particular family. We can say that child belongs to those parents because he looks or she looks like the father or the mother. And we therefore can see physical features and personality traits which tell us that children belong to a certain household. And the same is true only on a spiritual level when we come to deal with the family of the Lord. And that particular feature which the Lord singles out, which is the evidence of belonging to this family, Christ's family, God's family, is doing the will of the Father. When you think carefully about that language, and notice that doing the will of God marks and identifies people as belonging to the family of God, we are reminded immediately that they have this personality trait, this feature in their lives of doing the will of God, because they have been born of God. A child, any child here tonight, belongs to its family, or his or her family, having been born into that house. And surely when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks here of doing the will of his Father, that's the emphasis. He is speaking of the fact that those who do the will of God have indeed been born of God. And for that reason, and for that reason alone, they are in the family of God. Doing the will of the Father is the evidence, is the sign, is the token of actually being in the Lord's family. Now, Jesus Christ himself did the will of God. The one who speaks here about doing the will of God puts it this way: whosoever shall do the will of my Father. Notice the emphasis there, my Father. God was Christ's Father. Christ was the eternally begotten Son of God. And was it not the desire and the goal of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on this earth to do always the will of the Father? He said that he delighted to do that. Furthermore, he said it was his only and consuming desire, my meat, is to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. Jesus Christ certainly is the one who, in the highest sense, does the will of the Father as the eternally begotten Son. He does the will of his Father. But you see, doing the will of God is an evidence of being a child of God. And while Christ alone is the eternally begotten Son, all those who are born of the Father are the spiritually begotten sons of God, and they do the will of the Father. Not perfectly, not as Christ did, but they certainly do the will of the Father. And the Lord shows to us here that those who do the will of God, he says, that person is my brother and my sister and my mother. He's speaking of the family of faith, and he's bringing home to our hearts that the only evidence and the true evidence of being in that family is doing the will of God. And especially, what is the will of God? That's in view here. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father. What especially is the will of the Father that's mentioned here? Because you know, there are many people who will profess to be God's children, who will claim to be part of this family. But sadly, they do not do the will of God. The will of the Father is not in their heart, nor in their life. It's not demonstrated in any sense at all. And just what is it that's in view here? Whosoever shall do the will of my Father, the same is my brother, my sister, my mother. That is in the family of God. What is that? The will of God that's in view here, my friend, is God's revealed will concerning how people are saved. Surely that makes sense. How can we be in the family of the Lord if we don't do the first and primary thing with regard to what the will of God is, and the first and primary act of obedience that anyone must give in order to be in the family of God is to come and confess sin and repent of that sin and receive Jesus Christ on the terms that God has laid down in this book? That's the will of the Father. As I said, there are many who will claim to be the children of God, and the Bible tells us there's a day coming when they will actually stand at the judgment throne, and they will say to the judge, did we not do this, and did we not do that, and the other thing? And it will be said to them, depart from me, I never knew you. They will claim to have done the will of God, but they never came truly and sincerely and in reality to that place of surrender and yielding to the will of the Father in heaven. It is only those who have bowed the knee in saving faith and in repentance toward God who can truly be said in the first instance and in the primary sense to do the will of God. Or have you come to Jesus Christ as the Bible instructs you? Have you yielded life, heart, and soul to the Savior, to the Father? You see, my dear friend, the Bible tells you that by nature you are of your father, the devil. Solemn language. We are not born in neutrality. We are not sitting on the fence, so to speak. We don't live in a vacuum where we're not on either side. No, this is not the way it is. We're born in sin. We are conceived and brought forth into the world with a nature that's against God, that loves its own ways and loves the things of time and sense. And by nature, we don't do the will of God at all in any shape or fashion until we're born of God. Until we come and surrender before Him to yield heart and life and soul to His will and to His control and to His leading and guidance. And yet here you are tonight living a life that most certainly is not in the will of God at all, because you have never been born again. You have never been saved by grace. You're living for pleasure and for the gratifying of your own desires. You're living carelessly. Here you are bringing up a family in a wicked, cruel world. And while you may be hard-working and industrious, and you want to do well for your family in those realms, you're living without God. You're living in rebellion against His ways and His will. And therefore, my dear friend, your example to your children is such that as they look at you, they do not see anyone who's doing the will of God at all. They see someone who's doing the will of self, the flesh, and the world. And you're leading your children down to hell because you're not born of God. You see, someone who is born of God has the nature of God. That's really what's at the heart of this. Those who do the will of my Father, they have the nature of God. They love truth. They love holiness. They love purity. They love righteousness. God loves all those things. He is the one in whom there is no sin, no darkness at all. He is light. And therefore, if we really are in the family of God, we will have the nature of God. We will have a likeness to God. Isn't it true that the little child, as I said earlier, physically looks like the dad, like the mother? And you see, the same carries over in the spiritual sense into this realm that we're considering right now. If we are really the people of God and the family of God, we're not only born of God through faith in Jesus Christ, but more than that, my friend, we have a likeness to Him. We have a love for those things that the Lord loves, and a desire for those things which please Him. And I ask you tonight, is this the way it is in your life? Are you doing the will of the Father? Or are you performing the will of the flesh? And even the will of Satan? And the will of man and the world? As you go through life's journey, seeking to please and gratify yourself all the time and give no thought at all to the things of God, oh, my dear friend, do you not see tonight that you neither have the evidence or the mark of what it is to be in this family? May I show you tonight how precious the family of the Lord is to Him? That also comes out of this verse, because the Lord speaks here and He says, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Those words indicate just how precious the family of faith, the household of faith, is to the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice how He identifies with them. And this is said of sinners, you see. People who don't deserve it, people who have no entitlement to it. Oh, what a remarkable thing that the Lord would say of sinners, the same is my brother, my sister, my mother. Notice how He claims them, how He lays possession of them. He takes them to Himself. He says, this person's mine. And He's saying, therefore, this person is precious to me. Now, your family is precious to you. And your children, or your grandchildren, whatever the case might be, you love those little ones dearly. And they are the most precious possession that anyone could have, taking earthly things. But my dear friend, your feeling of the preciousness of your children is absolutely nothing compared with how the Lord regards His family. With this preciousness, being precious in His sight and before Him. And therefore, when He says here of sinners that the same as my brother, my sister, my mother, He is saying that those who are guilty in themselves, who have no entitlement to this standing, who are members by nature of a fallen and a lost race, as we all are brought in and redeemed and saved and gathered unto God. He is saying, therefore, what precious people they really and actually are. Hopeless, helpless, godless sinners, deserving only wrath and judgment, but said by the Lord of them, the same as my brother, my sister, my mother. They're precious to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're precious to Him because He died for them. Because He gave Himself for them. You see, that's the only way to belong to the family of God. This is the only entitlement that there is to be in this household. It is through the merits of the work of Jesus Christ. That's the way into the family. You don't work your way in. You don't wangle your way in by trying to do something that will please the Lord. And as a result of that, somehow or other, you will be admitted. No, my friend, there's only one way into this family. These who are precious to Christ are His because of the precious blood that bought them, and the precious blood in which they trust with all their heart and soul and mind. And therefore, here's the great truth that the Lord Jesus Christ willingly identifies Himself with sinners like us. And He says of us, that person, that man, that woman, that father and mother, that boy or girl, the same as mine, and is in my family. Oh, how He identifies Himself with those who deserve nothing. And to show that, the Lord went through the entire work that He performed in this earth, beginning with His birth, His incarnation, then His sinless life, then His atoning death, then His glorious resurrection, then His ascension back to heaven. He has done all this for His family. Willing identification with those who are precious to Him. And all who are in that family, therefore, are found resting in the Savior's work. For that reason, and for that reason alone, the work of Christ, done on their behalf, they're in the family of God. And I want to ask you, my friend, what is your trust and hope? Where are you tonight in the sight of God? Spiritually, I mean. How are you living? What are your goals and aspirations in life? What do you count most precious in this world? What do you find is the greatest treasure? Is it to be part of this spiritual family? Through faith in the blood of the Lamb. Through trusting in that work that the Savior performed. That's the only way to be identified with Christ
and be part of the family of God. And I tell you tonight, therefore, if you are not found resting in the blood of God's dear Son, if you're not found turning away from the world and sin in repentance and in godly sorrow, then I must tell you, you are not part of this family. You do not belong to the Lord. You may have little ones who are already saved. And here you are without God, without Christ, and without hope. Because may I say as I close tonight, that some who appear to be in Christ's family are not. Remember again the setting in which the Lord made these remarks and this great statement. His earthly family was there. And it was told the Lord, they want to see you. If you read Mark's account of this, you will discover that the Lord was standing in a circle. And all around him were people. And his own family were out there, wanting to gain admittance to see him. And when the Lord made this statement, those who do the will of my Father, the same as my mother, brother, and sister. The Gospel of Mark actually tells us he looked right round at that circle who were gathered around him. And they were the ones of whom he said this, but not those outside. Now you take the Lord's own brothers or half-brothers, and you will discover in Scripture that not until sometime later were they brought in. You'll find in John 7 that his own brothers, very close to the end of his life, still didn't believe him. Eventually they did. And they were saved. But not right now. And therefore that's why I say that some who appear to be in the Lord's family are not in the Lord's family. You see, you can have an outward identification with the Church of Jesus Christ and the people of God and the family of God and yet not belong to that family. It may appear that you are a Christian, but it's not really true. It may seem that you are a child of God, but yet while you assemble with God's people, you're not truly one of them. You have a loose connection with this congregation. And yet you do not have that real saving connection with Christ and the people of God, because as I've been saying tonight, you have not bowed the knee. And until, like our Lord's own half-brothers, you come and rest in Jesus Christ as they had to do by faith, until you come to Him, then while it may appear that you are in the family of God to many, you are not. My dear friend, you will remain out of the family of the Lord until you come and rest in Christ. Right now, you're outside the family circle. If you die in your present condition, you'll be outside the family circle. And oh, the horror of standing on the day of judgment and hear those dreadful words, "Depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you. Ye that work iniquity." Sinner, father, mother, family member, whatever your status in the family might be, is it not time for you to come to the Christ of God and through Him come into the family of God and know what it is to be counted among the Lord's people? There's nothing more precious or valuable than that. Will you come tonight to Christ? What about you little children, young people? Are you saved? Parents, Some of you aren't saved. Oh, that tonight you would come. Just now, there in your own seat, in the quietness of your own heart, come to Christ. Seek Him and receive Him as He's offered in the Gospel. And when this meeting ends, as it will in a moment or two, you make your way to us. You seek out help and counsel. We'll be glad to help you. May God write His word on every heart. Let us bow together in prayer.